Hello, dear listener. Thank you and welcome to the Dose of Humanness podcast. On this show, in this season, we're talking transformation, all things transformation. And so far, we've had a few really cool guests. We got another really cool guest today. And in this talk about change, about transformation, about, you know, becoming who we want to become, one thing that I want to bring to light and to remind us is that we're always changing, we're always growing. You know, like, every day is an opportunity for growth and change if we look at it this way. If we go to work and we think about, you know, what can I evolve in today? What can I learn today? Same thing with our workouts or our relationships. You know, we can always take this standpoint of, you know, what is here for me to grow in, and what can I learn from this? It's always there for us. And so, where in these podcasts we're talking a lot about, you know, big change and big growth, you'll notice some of the guests are speaking about day to day, right? They're speaking about, what can I do right now? And I think this is the nugget. If I've learned anything from talking to all of these guests, that this is a day to day thing. So take it this way. Thank you for listening to this little ramble. Now I will introduce my friend, Kevin Torres. Kevin and I went through the Strong Coach program together. I got to watch him do some incredible growth, and I got to learn from him. I really wanted to have him on for this season of transformation, because this is what he does. And he does it in the way of physical transformation. He works with dads. He works with people who might not have enough time or much time to be putting into as much as maybe what a lot of influencers would tell you you need to put in, you know, hours and hours of work. You know, Kevin's kind of on the other end. He's saying, hey, like, I understand you have less time. Let's work with that. We can definitely make change with that. So he specifies in weight loss, and again, big transformation. So I hope you enjoy Kevin. He's got a lot of wisdom. He's got a lot of awesome things to share about himself and about his work. And a quick reminder, if you like the show, if you've been enjoying the show, go over to iTunes, just give us a 5-star, give us a review, tell us you love us. All right, tell us whatever you want to tell us. But this really helps us reach more people. We're trying to talk to more people just like you. We're trying to spread the word of all this good stuff. So this would be very helpful. And quick plug, our Quarter Life Calling program starts very, very soon. If you're interested, please hit me up at Sit With Mitch on Instagram. Let's have a chat. Let's talk about it. We're building a really amazing community, and we're helping people understand themselves better and create a life for themselves that's worth living, that's fulfilling. So if this resonates, hit me up, and thank you so much. Enjoy the show. Enjoy the season. Much love. Hello, Kevin. Thanks for joining for the Dose of Humanness podcast. So just a little background. Me and Kevin went through the Strong Coach program together. And so we kind of got to experience each other's part of each other's growth. And so it's cool to sit down with Kevin today and chat about more of his life experience. And pretty stoked on that. So, Kevin, we're talking about transformation in season two. First, I just want you to introduce yourself and talk a little bit about, like, who you are and what you do right now, both business and personal and whatnot.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, first of all, Mitch. I really appreciate it. I'm honored to be a guest on your show. It really means a lot to me. And you know, just love what you're doing. Love, you know, the theme of season two and everything that I've seen you do since the Strong Coach, and you know, your group classes, your group courses. It's been pretty awesome to see. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm a on the surface, right? Like I'm a dad of two girls. My wife is currently pregnant with our third girl, so we're gonna have that coming up. If you want to talk about transformations, born and raised Brooklyn guy, I was in the army, and but I struggled with like weight my whole life, and I think like in addition to like the weight, like just like a negative mindset, which you know you've heard me talk about a ton, just like how the negative mindsets and like trying to overcome the negativity, and so you know I'd say in the last decade I've just been like on this sort of transformation, never ending transformation to get my health and fitness in check and to get my mindset right. And, you know, so I could ultimately become and be like the best dad I can be for my daughters, the best husband I could be for my wife, the best, you know, guy I could be for my friends, the best coach I could be for my clients, the best, you know, leader I can be for my staff.
Heck yeah, man. Yeah. And I see you like, I see you doing that, and it's badass. Like, this was when I was thinking about like, oh, who do I want to talk to about this topic? I was like, that you were high on my list, because I was like, he's done it, like this transformation himself. And the way that you talk about it, the way that you're able to convey your message. And obviously like you've gotten really good at talking to your people. But yeah, man, like it's super inspirational, and like, I see it just dripping off of you and like all of your stories, like, you post so much, and it's always just like, so there's a lot of energy behind it.
You know, thanks so much for saying that. Yeah, I post a lot on my account, like daily, and on stories too. And like I said, the main reason why I post so much over there is because like I know people need it, you know, like I know people who are following my account, like need that help. They need that support. Like I know I needed it when I was going through my health and fitness journey. And I was so reluctant to find help, right? I was so reluctant to find a sort of like a guide or a mentor or group fitness, right? Like a lot of people in our space come from like the CrossFit world, right? And like, I just never participated. I was like, fitness isn't something you do as a group. It's something you do by yourself. You go for a run, you do some pushups, you go to the gym, you know, you put on your headphones. You don't need a group. Like who needs friends? Like, you know, it's, I just struggled with that so much. And so like, I know that there are other guys out there as well who probably, you know, especially busy dads who just feel like I don't have, you know, a tight knit group of friends. Cause once you become a dad, you don't have friends anymore, right? Like you're home with your kids and that becomes your life. Like, yes, you have friends in real life, but not really, you don't get to see them and talk to them as much. And so, you know, in this world that's ever so like, more isolated because of the internet and everything like that. Like people need community. People need to know that they're not alone. And, you know, that's why I try to do that. I try to like post all the time. Like, I know you need this. I know you're not alone. You should know you're not alone type of thing.
Yeah. Wow. And, like I just a quick question on that is, did that come natural for you? Like that understanding and like, okay, I'm going to do this. Or was there like some resistance to being that person who's always, you know, putting out and being there?
Yeah. I mean, with any, you know, with anything, it's like with social media, like it oversharing doesn't come naturally to me. Right. Mm-hmm. Like I said, like I rather close myself off and like hide things from people and like, just like keep it all boxed in type of thing. And, but you know, it's so easy on Instagram or social media to just show like the good things, the highlight reel, right? Like this is what I'm good at, or look at my awesome view or my awesome coffee cup or my awesome sexy wife or something like that. Right. And so, you know, getting vulnerable is something that like I had to get over. especially like my before and after pictures. Like I promised myself I would bury those. Like I would bury, and I literally was like trying to bury who I was, like literally. And I probably to an extent still am. Like I'm trying to, like, if this was like a movie, right? And like we can get into like my brain or into my chest. It's like I'm literally trying to like kill that person, you know, and in like some warped way. And it's like instead, what I should be doing is like embrace that person, right, and like love them, and like forgive them, and like teach them that it's okay, and like, you know, nurture them and like heal them, and that's when I realized like I need to like be more vulnerable, and like I don't have to pretend that I've been a fit guy my whole life from the army and like look, I'm always fit and I have two kids and I'm fit and I can maintain this, and it's like no. So the first time I ever like posted a before and after picture, it was like literally like I don't even think I could press send. I think I like had my, I was like, I wrote the post, put up the picture, and it wasn't even the worst picture. It was like, you know, like it was like there was some difference, but it wasn't like, oh my god, that's like it was, you know. And I was like, I don't even think I could hit send on this. So I wrote it and put it, and I was like, told my wife, just press post for me, please. Just press share, because I don't even want to. And then I like put my phone down for like an hour because I didn't want to see any comments. I didn't want to see if it got likes or no likes, you know, because I felt so vulnerable putting myself out there. And then once I realized that, you know, people like needed to see that more, like the response that I got from that, I was like, people need to see more of this. And like, I can't like hide this because this is what they're going through, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Whoa, man. That's so talk a little bit about then where you did come from. And actually before you do that, like where are you at now with your body and with your training and like how you feel in your body and how you feel about yourself?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's been, over a decade of transformation, right? So like a long story short is I've always been kind of like not in the best shape. You know, I grew up in a single household, you know, my mom didn't really like know much about nutrition, and obviously, right, she wasn't like counting my macros or anything like that. And we ate a lot of fast food, ate a lot of junk food growing up, right? You know, my mom would just give me money to go out to eat, and I'd just like go buy McDonald's or something. And so in high school, I was definitely, in middle school, I was definitely overweight, right? But in middle school, it's like, how aware are you of that? You kind of know, but you don't, right? And then in high school, I was like way more aware of it, but I was still kind of cool. I was like, I was into the music scene. So like, it wasn't like debilitating. I still had like a girlfriend, you know, but I knew I just didn't like the way I looked, but I didn't know anything about fitness or nutrition. So I would starve myself thinking that's how you do it. I'm like, I don't know how, I guess you just have to eat nothing.
So in high school,
did this? In high school. Yeah, dude. So like I went through like a phase where I literally just ate, it was like a full summer where I would get one chicken Caesar salad, and that would be my meal all day. And it would come with like a piece of Italian bread. So I'd eat that. It would be like my one meal for the day. And then when I was out and about hanging out with friends, I would also get like a Dunkin' Donuts iced coffee that I would put way too much sugar in, but I didn't, you know, never really made that connection. But I was like, that was my nutrition for almost a whole summer, a chicken Caesar salad and an iced coffee. And thinking like, and I lost a lot of weight, but I was like, you know, I just had zero clue what I was doing, like zero clue. And then I would start running, because I was like, okay, runners have to be, you know, skinny. So I started running in high school. And that's sort of like what I think got me into running, you know, but I still wasn't doing any push-ups or crunches or anything like that. Sorry, did I cut out or am I still good?
You're here.
Okay. You know, I wasn't doing any like crunches or push-ups or anything like that. It was, and then at the end of high school, 9/11 happened. And I was like, oh snap, I guess I have to join the army now. You know, it was just because my brother, my older brother was a Marine. And so like, it wasn't like a family thing that we all had to do it or anything, but when 9/11 happened, I just felt compelled to do it. And so I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to the army. And I stopped my music stuff and I joined the army. And even in the army, I struggled. I was overweight. I was constantly getting like, you know, like not picked on, but, you know, it was obvious that I was not the one in shape, right? I could still keep up with the runs, but the obstacle courses, I sucked at. I couldn't get over certain things, and, you know, people would make fun or whatever. My sergeants were like, what do you eat, donuts all day, Kevin? What do you, you know, like, because they would have to, like, tape me and measure me to make sure I was, like, within weight standards. And so I struggled with that the whole time. But because the Army doesn't really, like, teach you about nutrition and you work out constantly with walking and running and all that stuff, we would literally drink, like, a case of beer a night and eat, like, pizza and burgers, like, every day. Like, and, you know, you're also 19 and 20. Yeah. So, like, your metabolism can keep up. And then so when I got home from the Army and I stopped the fitness, the physical side of things, I was still eating and drinking the same way. I quickly ballooned like 30 or 40 pounds. And so I was like 230, 240, and I'm 5'8", by the way. So like 230-ish on a 5'8 frame is definitely big. Started dating my wife. And then we're, you know, at the time, my girlfriend, and we're going out to dinners all the time. So gaining even more weight. And then finally, I think I saw a picture of myself in the DR, which I would love to find that picture. I don't, it's like buried on like a laptop somewhere. Cause that's like the before and after picture. I'm sitting there drinking like a whiskey, and I'm just like, I saw my picture and I was like, holy crap. Like, what is that? Like, that's me. And that's sort of like what sparked my transformation. Like, I have to get this in check. And got, you know, started running. I had a friend who was training to be a personal trainer. So he showed me a couple of things around the gym and really just started like from there. And, you know, I'm still on that journey myself, but then like along the way, I was like, I have to teach other people how to do this too. Like, I love it so much and it's changed my life that I want to be able to like give that to others. So I guess that was,
I'm curious. Yeah. I'm curious how like this, you like having struggled with that for so long, like how did that affect you mentally? How did that affect you? Like the way that you perceive yourself back then, what was that like?
Yeah. I mean, just, you know, back then how I felt in the moment was like insecure, you know, like inadequate, insecure. And, you know, you cover it up with, you know, on the surface with other things, right? Like I was really good at the guitar at the time and I was into, you know, I was in the punk crew. So, you know, like I was, you know, it almost didn't matter, right? Because like the punks and the alternative kids were a little bit more like enlightened in that regard, you know, and more inclusive and more welcoming. But I knew inside, you know, like I was in, like, if it was like, hey, let's all go to the beach together. It's like, no, I'm opting out of the beach, you know, type of thing. So I don't want to have to take off my shirt in front of everybody. So just felt insecure, inadequate. Like, you know, like, I, you know, just not good, you know, like,
yeah.
Just not, yeah, just like,
and
unhappy.
And physically too, like, when you compare how like energy levels, you know, like, what's the difference there as well?
Yeah. I mean, in high school, probably not so much because, you know, you're just young and full of energy. But I remember after when I remember vividly needing a nap every day. When I was like at my heaviest, it was like I would have an afternoon nap after I would eat like this humongous Italian bread sandwich thing. It was like a big hoagie, right? I would eat one of the huge subs. And then I would like take a nap. And then I remember when I started like my fitness journey, like it didn't hit me right away, but it was like maybe a couple of weeks later when I realized like I hadn't napped in a really long time. And I was like, oh, I was like, what? I'm like, dude, I haven't napped in a really long time. I'm like, oh man, I guess there's something to this. You know, when you exercise, you get more energy. Cause when I was always like, what energy are they talking about? When I exercise, I'm exhausted. You know, like after a run, I'm pooped. I don't want to do it. And I realized like, oh, that's like the transferable energy that they're talking about.
See, so this is so really interesting. So you came from a place of like you just had no knowledge around it. Is this when, so with your business right now, is this something you're speaking to? Like, is this a purposeful thing that you're trying to have conversation about for maybe people who were like that?
Yeah, like I mean, that? I find in general people who struggle, like, I think, yeah, the people who are in my program who struggle with health and with their weight and their fitness have, there's just so much misinformation. And I don't even want to say misinformation. There's just so much information because not all of it's wrong. some of it is right. You know, it's just people are overwhelmed with the information that they don't even know where to begin. So I find like people are in two classes. They either like have absolutely zero idea what to do, right? Like they don't even know what to do, or they know what to do. They just don't know which one is actually going to work for them. And like, you know, I would say most people know, especially, you know, like who are, you know, older, like guys in their, you know, 30s who have kids, like, no, you got to eat healthy and work out. Like those are the two main pillars. You got to eat healthy and work out. But the strategy is almost like the easy part, right? Like you can Google workouts, most effective workouts to lose weight. You're going to get 1,000 different programs, all for free even, right?
Right.
And it's like from anywhere, anything from Zumba to CrossFit. And you're going to see amazing before and afters for Zumba and CrossFit. So it's like, which one should I be doing? Should I be dancing in my living room like a maniac? Or should I be, you know, doing 300-pound clean and jerks in a CrossFit gym screaming and with my shirt off? It's like, I don't know which one works. And it's like, they all work. It's just a matter of which one you stick to and which one you actually enjoy, which one you find pleasure in, and so that you keep showing up on a daily basis. And then with the nutrition piece too, like most, it's like everyone tries keto, everyone tries intermittent fasting, everyone tries low carb. And really it's like, you know, it just comes down to finding what works best for you, understanding that you have to be in somewhat of a calorie deficit. And, you know, if keto works for you, great. I can't live my life not eating carbs, you know, or fasting. Like it's just me personally, like I can't live my life not eating for 16 hours out of the day. Like, you know, I want the freedom to eat. So, yeah, I don't know if that answered your question exactly, but in my program, there's definitely a lot of education, so to speak.
Yeah. I like that piece right there, the discipline, just like, what can you stick to? You know, what can you show up to day after day and take action day after day? Yeah, I think this is pretty common throughout like anything that someone wants to master or to get better at or whatever it is. Go ahead.
I was just saying, people should ask themselves, like, is this something that I could actually see myself doing? Is this something that I, my daughter, is this something that I could actually see myself doing for the long run? Or do I enjoy this, or is there a way to make it more enjoyable? Right. So it's like, if your initial answer is no, I don't enjoy it, that's fine. I understand that. But is there something you could do to make it more enjoyable? Right. Like one of the things that we teach is like, I got this from Tony Robbins, you know, from listening to one of his books, is like, there are sort of like, four classes of experiences, and, you know, like a class one experience is something that's good for you, that also feels good, that's good for others, and that serves the greater good, right? So, but for exercise, for example, would probably fall into a class two experience for most people. It doesn't feel good, right, in the moment, but it's good for you. It's good for others, right? Because like when you're healthy, other people around you, you know, like you have a better mood. And so those around you like you more, and it serves the greater good. Like you're not going to be a strain on the healthcare system. You're not going to die young, right? Like nobody's going to have to take care of you. So it satisfies the other three criteria, but it doesn't feel good, right? When you go for a run, if you're deconditioned, going for a run sucks. And the goal is to turn it into a class one experience where one day you're running and you're like, oh, I don't know, why am I doing this? And then you realize like, dude, I'm enjoying the hell out of this run. I love running. Right. And it's like, so how do you get to that point? Well, it's like, you could like, what do you enjoy doing? Is it music? Mm-hmm. Like if you run with like your favorite tunes, will that make running more enjoyable? Or running with your favorite books or podcasts or working out with friends, right? Like maybe you don't like working out, but you like spending time with your wife or your best friend. Can you work out together? And that can sort of like start to take, you know, something that you don't find enjoyable into a category that you do find enjoyable. And then the last thing is like, ask yourself, can you see yourself doing this for the long run? Right. So like guys who do like a 6-week boot camp of 6 days a week at the gym, are you going to do that for the rest of your life? Like 6 days a week for the rest of your life, going to 5 a.m. gym for an hour and a half? Or would you rather like work out 3 days at the gym, but for the rest of your life? Like, would you rather go to the gym for 6 days a week for the next 6 weeks and lose 15 pounds? Or would you rather work out 3 days a week for the rest of your life? You know, or same thing with carbs. Like, you want to live a life carb free forever? Is that like something you really want to do? Cause I
don't. And if you can, then great. But I like that, the thinking about sustainability, cause you have the rest of your lives to work on these things, like whatever it is. And this is what I seen when I was working with people who have chronic pain. Like, they want it now. They want to be out of pain now. And obviously you do, right? But when you get these people to think about long-term of like, hey, like, you're in this pain now, but like, imagine if you work on your body for the next 5 years, like, where will you be? Rather than the like going hard for the next 4 weeks, like, think about the next 3 to 5 years. Like, if you just stay consistent 3 to 4 days a week of working on your body, like, you're gonna get somewhere, you know? So yeah, I love this topic of like what's sustainable in your
life. And also, like you said though, like, it's about your expectations and tempering your expectations, right? Like, whether you have 5 pounds to lose or 25 pounds to lose, you should tell yourself it's gonna take a year. Right? And it's like, why? Well, once you're not like disappointed in a week from now when you're not 5 pounds lighter or 25 pounds lighter, you're like, well, it's not working. Like, I'm, you know, when you go for a run, I know I've experienced this. You do a couple of abs, a couple of crunches, you look in the mirror and it's like, oh no, like, there's still no abs, right? Or you go for a run and you look in the mirror and you're like, oh, it's still there. It's like, it's not going to happen after one run. So like, rather than focus on like the, it's good to have a goal for sure, but rather than focus on like, hey, I need to accomplish this in the next week, it's like, focus on just building the routines over the next year, right? Because the thing I always tell my clients is like, you know, going back to this analogy of like, strategy is like easy part. Like, you can get the workouts and the nutrition anywhere, right? Like, something that I like say with my clients is like, if you were like walking by like a $500,000 house, right? With a friend, it's like, hey, I wonder, how do you get a house like that? How do you get a house like that? It's like, it's kind of easy. It's, you find out how much it costs, you get a realtor, it's 500,000. So you need a 10% down payment. So you got to save $50,000. You could probably muster that up between you and your wife over a year or two, whatever. And then you put the down payment and then you get a closing fee, blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, that's, I get that. But who is in that house? Who's the guy who bought that house? Like, how do you get into that house? What are his routines? How does he talk to his friends and family? How does he think? What is his self-talk like? How does he talk to his wife? How does he treat his kids? What is his work ethic? What are his morning routines? What were his study habits like in college? That's what I mean. How do you get into a house like that is what I mean. Not because the strategy is the easy part. Anybody can figure out, you need a down payment, you hire a realtor, that's how you get that house. It's like, no, that's not how you get that house. The morning routines, the mindset, the way his self-talk or her self-talk, the way they talk to their friends and family, their work ethic, that's how you get into that house, right? So when you say like, I want to be 25 pounds lighter, it's like, yeah, I can give you all the workouts and the nutrition in the world, but it's your mindset. Like, start thinking like the 25 pound lighter person. Start
how that, are you being, who are you, and what, what are the identities? What are the things that are making up you as a person? Exactly. Yeah, man, that's powerful. This is something I wanted to ask you is, cause I think it's important to talk about these like darker places. And I'm curious, when you think about your journey, like what was maybe the darkest place that you were in, mentally, physically as well?
I mean, in terms of like my fitness, I remember like there were literally like when I was a kid, maybe like in middle school, maybe even high school, like I remember like vividly like wishing and like almost like feeling like it was going to come true that I would wake up skinny. Like at at night, I remember like how, like I would like wish it and wish it and wish it, be like, man, I could like picture it. And I was like, that's going to happen if I just like really wish hard enough. And I wake up tomorrow and I'm actually going to be like skinny. Wow. I can't believe, like, I would like literally waste so much time. Like I remember this, like as a kid, like really, like, maybe middle school, maybe high school. And I just like, that's not necessarily like a dark place, but I just remember how like desperate that feeling was, like to just sit there wishing and not knowing like how to just do it. Right. Cause like, again, like I just had no idea. So just like thinking like, oh my God, this is my body. I wish it would just not be that way without realizing like there were steps that I could actually take. Mm. In terms of like, you know, like darker places. I mean, I wouldn't say there was ever like a rock bottom or anything like that in terms of like, you know, how like my weight and, but I will say this, like there were other habits that weren't supporting my ultimate goals, like drinking, for example. Mm-hmm. And again, I was never, or maybe I was, I don't know. I was never like an alcoholic, right? But I would drink. I don't drink anymore. I haven't drank in like almost 3 years. Mm-hmm. But it was something like whenever I would drink, like my, like this like beast would come out of me, right? In my thoughts. And usually it was like pretty tamed unless something brought it out in me outwardly, right? Like, you know, like a stupid comment at a bar or my wife and I arguing or something like that, right? And so for the most part, if I was drinking, it'd just be like dark thoughts in my own head or whatever, or, you know, whatever, just like, you know, being negative. And then one day we had, this is right after my second daughter was born. We went out for like a brunch. So I had a couple of day beers, came home, and I gave my kids like my older daughter a snack, like a sugary snack that my wife didn't want her to have, but I just gave it to her because I was feeling pretty good. Mm-hmm. I was also feeling a little tired. I didn't want to like go fix them up a snack. I was like, here's like a packet of something. And I remember my wife came out and just like was like, why is she eating that? Like, why'd you give her that? And I like snapped, and I yelled at my wife in front of my kids. I yelled at my wife. She's like, you know, whatever I said, I was like, you know, calm the fuck down, whatever this and that. And then at that moment, again, like, you know, there was nothing crazy. Nobody broke any plates. Nobody punched each other. But I just stopped and realized, I'm like, I'm yelling at my wife in front of my daughters.
Yeah.
And like teaching them that this is okay. And like that they should expect this from a man. Or something mm-hmm. like that they should expect this from like their spouse or their boyfriend or their father, and that like I'm normalizing like it's okay to yell at your wife in front of like, and I was just like, and then I was like, why did I do it? I was like, is it the alcohol? I'm like, does my wife pick fights with me when I'm drinking? Like, what is it? I'm like, I don't know, but the one thing that I can control in this situation was the drinking. I knew I was drinking.
Yeah,
like, could I have picked a healthier snack? Sure. Like, should I have ignored what my wife was telling me? Like, sure, like whatever. But I was like, I don't know if any of that was it, but I do know like I was drinking. So I'm done. And I just decided to stop drinking then. And that was it.
Yeah. See, this is like you said, like, it's not anything crazy. Right. But it's a force of change of you just being like, all right, like this isn't working. And like what you were saying earlier about who is the person that's buying the house? Like, it sounds like that was a time for you of like, fuck, I'm not being that person. And that doesn't fly with me. So like, I'm gonna make that change. Or like you said, the thing I can control, what can I control? But like this is something that I think a lot of people are confronted with often, is that situation or that thing where it's like, I did it and I didn't like it, but then a lot of people will still do it, you know? Yeah. And this is where, like, I think this is a very good example, because this happens more often, what the situation you just described, than like the really crazy ones. And like you, being able to recognize that and make the change off of that. Like, this is what I think people, if we noticed it more, that we could catch ourselves like earlier, if that makes sense.
Well, but no, and that totally does make sense. But the if I'm being 100% honest, like this was like the 100th time, mm-hmm. right? And it was just the time that I was like, oh, snap. And for others, it's like, what is it? What's the impetus? Because they know, right? For others, it's like a car crash or a scary diagnosis from the doctor. Like, yeah, it's cancer. Stop smoking, dickhead. It's like, so I've ignored the thing 100 times. Like my wife and I don't argue, but whenever I would drink, I would argue with her or snap at her. Right. Or I've never been in like a random fight, you know, on the streets of New York. But when I was drinking, I remember once like some kid on a bike, some like young, you know, like guy on a bike said something and I was like, what? And I, like, we didn't ultimately get into a fight, thank God. And, you know, or anything like that, but it was just like, why am I screaming right now? Like in public, you know, but when, you know, when the whiskey's coursing through your system, you're like, let's go. I'm bulletproof, baby. And so, you know, I love what you said, like, you know, like these moments and people need to like, you know, recognize these moments. But I think more often than not, like we do recognize these moments so often, know we want to change, even say we're going to change. Like how many times have you woke up and said, I'm never drinking again?
Yeah. Right?
Or, you know, or have gone back to your girlfriend and be like, baby, I'm so sorry. I promise I'm never going to do that anymore. I'm never going to do that again. Right. And then you end up doing it again. Right.
Right.
And so it's a matter of like finding enough leverage, right? Where it's like, this hurts way too much now because there's pain and pleasure, mm-hmm. right? And that's like the guiding principle of all of us. Like we're operating always to avoid pain and to gain pleasure. Mm-hmm. And so thinking about the weight, for example, like in the short term, what's pleasurable? Eating those pretzels, eating the goldfish, eating a chocolate cake, that's pleasurable. It's in the moment. But if after, and what's painful from that? Well, the weight. Right, the weight gain, but what's more immediate? The pain is immediate. The pleasure is immediate. Mm-hmm. That you eat that chocolate cake, and it's immediately your brain is like, "Thank you so much! Yes. It's awesome. We're dancing. This is the best part of our day." Right, and what is delayed? The pain. You're not going to feel the 25 right. pounds until later. So imagine if you ate a piece of chocolate cake, and the second you did, a tumor grew on your cheek. The second you ate a piece of cake. A tumor grew, like, and at that point, now that chocolate cake doesn't look so delicious if immediately your face breaks out like a pepperoni pizza, right?
Right.
And so what people need to start doing is start linking massive amounts of pain to the things that are actually giving them pleasure, like drinking or giving up, you know, like, oh, I don't want to work out. I'm going to sit on the couch and watch TV instead. Sure. But what's that going to cost you in 10 years from now? In 20 years from now, right? When you're 40 and your kids don't have a father anymore, right? And type of thing, right? Like, and that's, you know, and it's so difficult to do that because the pain, the pleasure is so immediate. The pleasure is always immediate.
Yeah.
And the pain is always so delayed. It's a matter of bringing that pain more upfront and being like, look, next time you drink, your wife is leaving you. Or next time you drink, you're going to crash and kill innocent people, like in your car. Like, how do you do that? I don't know. That's the tricky part.
Well, how would you approach that with a client who's maybe like, was on track, off track. Like what would be your approach to like, what's that conversation like?
Yeah. So we actually do talk about like that, like the root of why they're, you know, we talk about like the basic human needs, right? Again, like pain and to gain pleasure and avoid pain, but also talk about like the need for certainty, right? The need for variety, the need for love and connection, and the need for, you know, there's love and significance. And so most of us are operating out of like, you know, we talk about habits a lot too, like, you know, like you're just on autopilot most of the day. And we talk about like, what is it that you were craving in that moment, right? When you decided to go to the vending machine for the 8th time at work. And really, then we start to realize that like in the moment is like, they're experiencing some kind of stress at work, right? And that stress is a lack of certainty because they don't know if they're going to be able to meet the deadline or solve the problem, or, you know, they're not feeling secure. So they feel a lack of certainty. And what is certain? Pringles are going to be certain. M&Ms have never not tasted like M&Ms, right? Oreos never taste like, oh, I got a good Oreo today. They always taste like Oreos, you know? So there's massive amounts of certainty in your snacks, in the cravings. You know, when you come home from a long day of work, when you open a beer and drink it, you're going to get a little buzz. You know that with 100% certainty. You're not going to drink a beer and it's going to like give you like a heartburn or something, right? And so, you know, so when people are experiencing a ton of uncertainty, they go for something that's more certain. On the flip side of that, it might be the complete opposite. Maybe people are so bored with their life and the certainty. Every day is the same. Every day is the same. And so they get a ton of variety by dining out for lunch every day, right? So it's like every day they get a lot of variety because they can go to this restaurant and this restaurant and this restaurant. And so maybe that's what they're feeding. So we try to get at the root. What are you really trying to satisfy? Or maybe it's love and connection. Maybe you're the kind of guy who, when you go to the bar, you're like, rounds on me, guys, drinks on me. And everyone's like, yes, Mitch is the man. Mitch, 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 Mitch. And at that point, you're getting like a lot of significance, right? Because you're like, hey, I'm the guy who always buys beers for everybody. Or love and connection is like, hey, every time I get to go out to lunch, I get to go out to lunch with my friends, people who I love. And I love these four people that I get to have lunch with every single day. And so you might be attaching love and connection to that experience. So that's the first thing we do is like, what are you attaching to the experience? And then we do a couple of other exercises where literally it's like, go stand in the mirror naked. And we do what we call the Charles Dickens exercise. And I'll run it through you really quickly.
But yeah, like, run it through me.
It's like you stand there naked or as with few clothes as possible as you're comfortable with and say like, okay, this is the present. Look at your arms, look at your legs, look at your belly, look at your butt, look at your private parts. How do they look? Are they satisfying to you? Look at your neck. What do you notice about your arms? What do you notice about the weight of, you know, the stretch marks, the wrinkles, everything? What do you notice? Like, how does that feel? How does that make you, do you like it? Do you enjoy it? Whatever. And then so that's like the present, right? And then we start to project out into the future. And it's like, okay, now imagine yourself in 5 years from now, if you don't change anything, what does it look like then? Keep looking at yourself in the mirror. What's going to be different though? Where are there more wrinkles? Where's their belly even larger? Where's your butt even flabbier, right? Where the fat on your arms even more jiggly? And now project out 15 years and 20 years and really start to feel how the pain of that and start to really sit with that feeling of like what it's going to look like when nothing changes, if you absolutely change nothing. And then the best part about it is like Charles Dickens, right? Like the Scrooge story is like you wake up from that and that future hasn't happened, right? Yeah. Like that you projected out 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, maybe even like pictured your early grave, right? And it's like, but the best part is it's like that hasn't happened yet. You could wake up today and go give Tiny Tim his Christmas gifts and go send, you know, Christmas cheer all around the town. And like, you can change, you know, like, so that's sort of like one of the other exercises that we do.
So, yeah. So looking at, this is interesting. So looking at a lot of like almost worst case scenarios, like what's okay, this is where I am. And like, what's the worst thing that could happen? And then like feeling, sounds like feeling into that. I mean, like, oh God, okay. And then that being the leverage that you were talking about of like, okay, well, we felt into that. We don't want that, right? So this is what we're gonna do. And it makes the action and the strategy stronger, it seems.
Yeah, like, and there's one more piece because it's the Ghost of Christmas past also. So you have to stand there, and while you're standing there, you have to think like, what are all the things that you did to get you to this point? You know, so you're like, and then so you're standing there in the present, but then you're also thinking about like reflecting on your past, like what are all the choices you've made up until today to get here? Like all the cakes, all the McDonald's, all the times you've opted out of exercising, all the times like you've told yourself you can't do it, or you know what I mean? And so you get like, you do all three, like the past, the present, and the future. And then you get, like I said, you get to wake up and that future hasn't happened yet.
So in the Strong Coach, we talked about like finding reality. Mm-hmm. Is this like, would you say it's along those lines of just being like, this is just reality. Like besides the, looking into the future, but like the past of like, think about all the things you've done, everything you've done up until this point, look at yourself right now. How does it look? Like, what is showing right now? Would you say that that's like similar to just like finding reality?
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely a lot of that, because you have to face things like objectively, and then also face your own excuses too.
Yeah.
Objectively, right? And like realize like every time you say I can't, you're really just saying I won't, or I don't want to, right? Like it's like, oh, I can't wake up early to work out. It's like, oh, you mean you won't wake up early to work out? Or it's like, I just can't stop snacking at night. It's like, oh, you mean you won't try to stop snacking at night? Is really, so let's be honest. Let's not parse words and say like some uncontrollable force is preventing you from doing this thing. You're just choosing not to do it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and there's a balance there, right? Because like, you don't want to just like make every client feel like, come on, dude, you suck it up. Like you just got to be able to do it. You know, like you got to, you know, coach everybody differently, but helping them get to that point on their own is like, is pretty powerful stuff.
Yeah. 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 So I'm curious about, your transformation was obviously like so powerful for you, that you wanted to help other people.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that inspiration and that feeling of helping other people with something that you struggle with?
Yeah, it honestly, I think like in a classic kind of way, like I was getting more and more fit, and then people would started asking me advice or telling me if they worked out. Like I remember coworkers would be like, oh, I went for a run, Kevin. And I'm like, awesome. Cool. I love that. And then people would start asking me for advice and stuff. And so I was a teacher. I used to be a teacher. And then I would one day was like I led some group fitness classes for my teachers, and like it became a thing. Like after school, a couple of days a week, we would go to the court, to the gym or to the schoolyard, and I'd put on some music and I would essentially run them through like a fitness class, like a boot camp. And I was like, this is so much fun. So I eventually went and got like certified as a personal trainer and started working as a personal trainer in a small boutique in Brooklyn, and was running group fitness classes there. And it was fun. I got to pick the music and get, you know, do all the exercises. And that was a lot of fun. But even then, like, I wasn't sure what I was doing. It was like, I was like, well, should I help women? Should I help, you know, young people, old people? I don't know. But then I got inspired with the dad bod bod thing and to help dads organically. Again, it was never intentional. Like I never meant to start this account with anything with the real purpose behind it. Wow. I started it because I was walking my daughter every day in her stroller. She like would not nap in her crib. So we would walk her in her stroller so she could nap. And finally one day I was like, you know what? I'm like, I was tired or something. And she had just fallen asleep. And I was always just like walking around, listening to audiobooks and podcasts. And I was like, I'm just going to knock out some 10 burpees. I was like tired. I just wanted like a little energy. I was like, let me knock out some 10 burpees. And so I was like risky because the baby is sleeping in the stroller. You know, if she stops moving, she might wake up. So I knocked out 10 burpees and I looked inside the stroller and like, she was still sleeping. I'm like, okay, she's still sleeping. I'm like, I'll do 10 more. So I did 10 more burpees and then look inside the stroller and she's still sleeping. I'm like, okay, cool. Finally, I get to 100 burpees. So I essentially did like a 10 minute EMOM, like 10 burpees every minute on the minute. And she was still sleeping. And I was like, sweet. But at that point I was drenched from doing 100 burpees, you know, and that's all I needed. And I was like, so I kept my walk going and I was like, that was so cool. I'm going to do that tomorrow and the next day and the day after that. And so I started just like walking with my daughter while, and every time she'd fall asleep in her stroller, I would do a quick workout, a 10 minute workout of push-ups, nice. Air squats. I'd go, you know, I'd walk her to the park so I could use like the monkey bars and stuff for pull-ups. And then finally I was like, other guys would need to see this because like it's working for me. I'm maintaining my fitness. I'm not like going to the gym anymore, right? I'm literally just doing like push-ups and squats while my daughter naps in her stroller. And other people would probably benefit from seeing this because I know what's happening is like a lot of guys are becoming fathers and then they're stopping everything. They just don't do anything. So I started recording the videos and I started uploading them to Instagram with no expectation, nothing. And then finally, you know, just started gaining a lot of traction and, you know, I started finding my people. Mm-hmm. And even then I was still like reluctant and resistant to the idea of like coaching. I was like, I'm just going to keep putting out the workouts and the free content because I enjoy doing it. You know, it was like, and then finally over the summer, you know, with COVID happening and over the summer and, you know, Mike Bledsoe and the strong coach and all that stuff, I was like, maybe I just need to start doing this. I just need to coach people like head on, you know?
Yeah.
People were reaching out and asking like, how do I work with you? Or can you know, what else do you suggest? And I was like, I don't know, you know, like I knew it worked for me, but like, and then finally I was like, no, I can do this. Like you can do this. Like, this is what you're calling, like you're being called to this. Like, stop feeling like you don't have the credentials, or stop feeling like you don't have the, like the skills or the knowledge, or that somebody else is doing it. So why should you? Like, there's already 1,000 fitfluencers. Why should I? And I was like, no, like if I don't do this, I'm leaving somebody hanging who could benefit from this.
Yeah. It's being asked of you, like literally, like, yeah, it's just letting go and being like, okay, well, this is being asked of me, then I need to like get out of my own way and allow it to happen.
Yeah, I think they call it like the happy warrior, right? It's like this idea, like, you know, like you're called to do something that you don't, or the reluctant warrior, isn't maybe that's what it is. But it's the same thing with like politicians, maybe not today, but like during the American Revolution, like people were being told like you, Mitch, you're the best guy from our town. You're going to go represent us in Congress. And it's like, okay, I don't know anything about that, but it's like, no, you're the smartest guy. Like, come on, you should go. And it was like, you know, people would like literally nominate like who they believe. Now it's like, you know, a shit show, but whatever.
Yeah. And it's just, it's like, you're responding. You're just responding to that. What you're being asked of.
Yeah.
That's powerful, man. So you just did it then. You just were like, all right, well, like people are asking me and I'm having fun, so I'm going to do it. What were the limitations on yourself? Like, what were like that part of you that was like, no, I can't do this, or I don't want to do it. Like was that pretty powerful at first, or like what was that like?
Yeah, dude. And it still is, right? You know, you still fight it on a regular basis. Like, you know, the phrase imposter syndrome, and if anybody is listening is unsure of what that means, it's like, you know, when you put yourself in a role that you know you're not qualified for or don't believe you are, right? It's like, you know, it's almost like you get the job, you know, you put it on the resume, you go through the interview process, you get the job, and you're still like insecure about it for the first few weeks. Like, people are going to catch on to me. People are going to know that I really don't know anything about this topic, you know, like, and that's like one pervasive feeling, like this imposter syndrome. Like, you know, like there are dietitians out there who've gone to school for 4 years about nutrition and like, you know, I have a certification, like, does that cut it? You know, type of thing. There's that piece, right? And then there's also like the business aspect of it. Like, what do I know about running a business and asking people for money and how much it's worth and all that stuff? It's like, you know, like, and there's like an almost like an impulse to undercharge because, you know, you're doing this out of because you love it and the passion for it. But on the other hand, you know, you're not a chump. And two, if you offered it for 99 cents, people wouldn't get the value out of it because like, they're not going to do it. You know, if you give them like the free workouts, they won't do it. If you charge them $1,000 for some workouts, well, damn, I paid $1,000 for these. I might as well do it. So, you know, like, you know, even getting over like the fear of asking for money thing and, you know, the imposter syndrome. And then the other thing is just like, oh, everybody's doing it. So why would anybody listen to me thing? Mm. And really, you know, like that's pervasive too. But I would just tell anybody, it's like, you have a unique spin on it. You have a unique story to tell, and you're going to attract your tribe. You're going to attract your people, and it's okay to repel the people you don't want. Right. Like on my bio is like, I help busy dads get into amazing shape without sacrificing family time. If a 19-year-old single college kid lands on my account and he's like, this guy sucks. It's like, yeah, good. I do suck. I don't, I'm not for you. And that's okay. Or a 40-year-old woman lands on my account. It's like, she's going to instantly repel herself. She's going to, you know, she's going to say, ah, he's not for me. And that's okay. I'm okay with that. Cause I want to help guys who are dads who don't have time to work out.
Yeah. Yeah. Powerful, man. Yeah. Yeah. Dude, you're just spitting gold right there. I do want to begin to wrap us up. I want to respect your time. But one thing I'm curious is, cause I mean, your business is basically transformation and that's what we're talking about, in this season of the podcast. And, like with, if someone, let's even take a step back and just, like take a step back from your personal business and weight loss. And just, if someone is just down and struggling, and they, maybe they watch someone like you or someone like me, somebody inspirational, and they're like, oh, I want to like change my life. I want to start doing better. Like what's like the first thing that you would tell this person? Action-wise. I think,
yeah, the first thing I would tell them is like, Toy, what do you want, right? Because Mitch, you know this, we went through the same course, and like most people know what they don't want. They don't want to feel like shit. They don't want to feel 20 pounds heavier. They don't want to yell at their wife anymore. They don't want to be an alcoholic. They don't want to be at the same job. They don't want to have a 9-to-5. They don't want to feel stagnant. They don't want to feel stale. They don't want to feel like they're plateauing, right? Everybody knows what they don't want, and nobody identifies what it is that they do want. And there's like this reluctance to say it out loud because it's almost like, you know, our culture, American culture, you know, it's like, it's a little like, we don't want to say like, you know, we don't want to be selfish. You know, it's like, you know, even though it's a really selfish, like kind of like country, like we don't want to openly admit, like, I want that. Like, I want X. I want to have abs and I want to have a 6-figure job. I want to. And so people are like modest, like, oh no, I don't really need, like, how many times I get on a call with people, I'm like, so what are your goals, dude? And you're like, oh, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to feel blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, so what do you want? And then I'm like, let's get specific. How much weight do you want to lose? Well, they're like, oh, I'm 240 now. You know, I'd like to get down to like 200, but I don't know if that's realistic. So, you know, 220, it's like, wait, what's not realistic about losing 40 pounds? Why are you selling yourself short? Like, I'm not going to judge you for being unreasonable with your goal. Say, I want to be freaking 185. Just say it. And it's okay to own that. So the first thing I would say to somebody who's like, who's in a rut, who wants to change is like, okay, stop thinking about what you don't want. Start getting crystal clear on what you do want. And then own it, own it. Like say like, I will be a fill in the blank. I will be 20 pounds lighter. I will earn 6 figures. I will find the wife of my dreams. You know, like whatever it is, like I will travel the country, like own it.
Own it, dude. So powerful. Yes, man. This helped me so much, dude. Like, I was so that person of like, I don't want this. I don't want that. And owning it has been game changer, man. So thank you for saying that. I love that. Yeah, that's the first thing that you thought of. That's amazing. Any other thoughts just on this topic that you feel like you want to spout or anything you want to say about yourself? Or
I mean, I think that's it. I think the other thing to understand is like, you know, going back to being crystal clear on your goals, is a GPS is only as effective as you are clear on the destination, right? Because like if you put into your open Google Maps right now on your phone, you just say like, go to store. Well, damn, what store? It's going to take you 1,000 stores. Or go to restaurant, Italian, Chinese, high end, cheap, fast food, right? So that's why, like, again, like you have to get crystal clear on your destination, on your goals, and then understand that like the destination itself is just going to lead to another destination, right? So it's like, you're never going to be done. Like, you know, just like in real life, you get to the store, then what? Then you got to drive back home or you got to drive up to the next place, right? You're never done. So, you know, don't think of your goal as like this finite thing that once you've achieved, it's like you get to rest on your laurels. It's like, it's like, you know, set goals, but then understand that, like, you know, you got, it's an ongoing process forever.
Yes, there's more. There's always more. It always like keeps leading somewhere. Like, as long as we're here, we're going to be led somewhere. And yeah, it's powerful, exactly. Man. Cool. So where can people find you, brother?
Yeah, man. Thanks. You know, Instagram is where I hang out the most. At dadbodwad_wad, and wad just means workout of the day. So for anybody who's not in the CrossFit world, and it's, you know, the, it's like wad, dadbodwad. It's like a little weird, but WOD just means workout of the day. So dadbod_wad on Instagram, and then dadbodwad.net is my website, but there's really nothing there, but some freebies, some 10 workouts, like go-to workouts and stuff. Oh, and also the podcast. I host a Dad Bod Wad podcast. Almost forgot about that. And there, you know, it's just like tips and tricks around, you know, maintaining fitness and getting in shape in as little as 15 minutes a day without overhauling your lifestyle, without sacrificing family time and stuff.
Nice. And you're still running programs, and you have like a community. Yeah.
Yeah. Still doing one-to-one coaching, you know, have a free Facebook community too, for anybody who just wants to join the community and, nice. And be a presence there. You know, it's like a hundreds of like-minded guys who are supporting one another, who are getting support, who are asking questions, who are using it as like their online fitness journal, you know, posting sweaty selfies every day. And the best part about it is, like, because it's a closed private group, it doesn't show up on your public feed. So like your goofy friends from high school can't like make fun of you for trying to better yourself.
Nice. I love it, man. I love the work you're doing. Like, it's funny because like, I'm not a father yet. And so like your content, it's not always speaking to me, but I still, dude, like I just still gather so much from it in terms of like all of the values are the same. Yeah. and I love the way that you show up, and I love the way that I can grab inspiration from you, and both like from what you're talking about with fitness, and then also just watching your business grow. And like, it's been super cool, man. So
that's so awesome, man. Thank you so much for saying that.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you for coming on the show. I always like to end the show with just telling the listeners a little something, and just, you know, have an amazing day. Take care of yourself. Like, go on a walk, do your dad bod wad workout, you know, like take care of yourself in whatever way you need to. Like right now you're listening to this, you know, whatever that thing is that's on your mind of like, oh, I need to do that. Like, go do it now. Take your time. And yeah, have an amazing rest of your day. Thank Much you. Love. Thank you for joining this episode of the Dose of Humanness podcast. Remember, this is a season of discussing transformation. So if you haven't, check out some episodes from earlier, and then stay tuned for more freaking awesomeness, because the next few people who are coming are really deep, true to my heart. They're so inspirational. So watch out for those next podcast to come. And big shout out to my friend at Eni Living on Instagram. He has created this music for the intro and outro, and I imagine more to come in the future. An amazing musician, so check him out. Much love. Take care.